Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening. This is podcast number 5 for Unreliable Studio. My name is Josh.
And I'm Pedro.
What's up, interwebs?
Sorry.
So, there's been a lot of news since the last time we've really done a full podcast. We've been doing a couple Let's Plays here the past few weeks.
What?
We've been doing Let's Plays, so...
This is true.
Yeah.
We haven't been doing podcasts. Which is sad.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess we'll start with like what we've been playing. Recently I've beaten the new Tomb Raider, which is amazing. It's way better than I expected.
And don't spoil anything. I just started.
Yeah, I know. I know you haven't beaten it yet, so I'll stay away from that. But sweet. Also been playing Gears of War Judgment, which is really good. And I just started the new BioShock, which I know you finished, so
yes.
What else have you been playing?
So like you said, I finished BioShock. Just started Tomb Raider, and I've also been playing a lot of the Luigi Mansion's Dark Moon. The game is actually surprisingly a lot of fun. A lot of fun. We need to figure out how to record mobile devices, because I would totally do a video for that.
Yeah, recording DS games would be pretty sweet.
Indeed. Do some research.
Yeah. I'm sure it's a lot harder than it's worth.
Kickstart some fundings for new equipment. That would be awesome.
Alright. Yeah. What else have you been playing, or just those couple things? Tomb Raider, Luigi's Mansion?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Beat BioShock, played a lot of Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider is awesome. Definitely recommend it. BioShock is amazing. Highly recommend that. I would also highly recommend not spoiling it. So if there's any tweets about it or any articles about it, definitely don't read it and just keep playing the game, because it's awesome.
Sweet.
And yeah, not really much. What I will be playing in a few days is Battle Block Theater, and that's an Xbox Live Arcade game made by the Behemoths, who also made Castle Crashers. This is going to be a 2D platforming game that you can play co-op, and it just looks amazing. And that comes out on Wednesday.
Is it going to be the same kind of style as Castle Crashers, or is it something new?
No, Castle Crashers is more of a brawler, where you go around, you know, scroll from left to right and attack enemies and level up your character. This one's more like a platformer, a puzzle platformer with some action elements into it. So you can play the game co-op, so it's kind of like you're jumping around to collect stuff, and I don't know.
Is it like a Castlevania or a Metroid style?
I mean,
side scroller.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, but there's none of the... Not that I know of, at least. I mean, I haven't played this game yet, but to my knowledge, there's no leveling up, and there's no crazy weapons. I mean, there are weapons. You can pick up a weapon, and that weapon has special properties and special moves. But it's not too action-oriented. It's more oriented towards the platforming skills. And it's cool, because you can, like, grief your co-op partner by like picking them up and throwing them to enemies, or like throwing them down below. But I mean, the whole point of the co-op is to help each other out. But you know, it's the internet. We're all gonna find ways to incommunicate each other somehow.
Yeah,
but for sure, the game looks amazing, and it's got that same 2D art style that Castle Crasher has, and it's. Real pretty. It looks amazing.
Awesome. I'll definitely have to take a look into that.
Most def. And that's the beauty about Xbox Live Arcade games, that they have a trial, so you can try it before you buy it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got plenty of trials. I just played something recently. I can't even remember. I download so many demos and just try different stuff. Oh, it was Terraria for the Xbox. Which I have for the PC, but it's still fun to get achievements.
How does it compare to the PC version? Like, how do they get the UI and the control down on the Xbox?
you basically just hit one button and it unlocks the cursor for you, and then you can control the cursor with the right analog stick, and then you can use that to like move around. You can dig any direction that you want, so it's actually not too bad. Way better with the mouse and keyboard, but it'll take some getting used to. It's not bad though.
Interesting. Well, cool beans. That's what we've been playing. Do you want to just jump into the news? We haven't been on for like the entire month of March, so
yeah,
there's a bit.
We can start with PAX East. Happened a couple weeks ago.
Indeed, PAX East held in Boston. We're in the East Coast. We should totally go to that.
Yeah.
It's only like a flight.
Yeah, I know.
It's like $500.
It's probably really expensive to get a hotel up there, too, though.
Yeah, definitely. Who needs a hotel? Rent a car, sleep in the car. Bam, problem solved.
In Boston? March? I don't think so, dude. I don't think you realize how cold it is up there.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, PAX East, they showed a bunch of games.
Yeah. Honestly, for me, the coolest thing that came out of PAX East was Hearthstone from Blizzard, which is a PC and Mac game that's also going to come out for the iPad. It's a digital TCG, or trading card game. You can battle against the computer or other people. You can play, when you play against the computer, you can unlock new cards, you can build your own deck, you can purchase new cards. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be really cool. I've never personally gotten to a lot of the card games, but I like WoW, and I'm sure it'd be fun to see those characters in that kind of game style. It'd be different. I just hope that they give us unlockables for WoW in the card game. If I could unlock mounts or pets, that'd be awesome.
That's hysterical. It all comes back to pets.
Yeah, I love pets. I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see how they're going to price the game. I guess it's going to be free to play, and then if the card packs are reasonably priced, that could be cool. But, I mean, one aspect of these collectible card games is owning the cards, and I think it's kind of weird that you would own digital cards. I know Magic the Gathering has been doing the digital card game for a while now, and it's actually a lot of fun, but I mean, I don't think it compares to actually owning Magic the Gathering cards and playing with your friends. But I mean, I definitely see that this could be quite interesting. I'll definitely be giving it a try.
Yeah. It's free to play, so I mean, there's not really any reason not to play it.
Exactly. Why not? And then hopefully the extra card packs won't be absurdly too high in price.
I don't know
what I'm trying to say there.
Yeah,
expensive.
I mean, they could do anything they want, really. They could say $5 a pack, just like the actual cards in the store, but I don't know how many of those they'd actually sell.
I read somewhere that supposedly the game will be available not only as a separate download, but you'd be able to play the game inside of WoW. That would be interesting.
If that
actually happens.
I guess they could just add that as like part of the pet battle system, where you can trading card game battle people in Azeroth, I guess. I don't know. It'd be different.
Yeah. Something else for people to do in WoW, besides leveling up and raiding and all that shenanigans. So that's Hearthstone. Any release date for that?
No, they said they're going to do the beta over the summer, but no release date.
Cool. Blizzard usually likes to take their time, so
hopefully
it won't be too long before we get that.
No, they said it'll be ready in a reasonable amount of time, not a Blizzard amount of time.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like how they poke fun at themselves. Well, what else from PAX East? Any other games you saw?
DuckTales Remastered.
That's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I don't really remember playing the original. I remember watching the show.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, that show was amazing back in the day.
Yeah, I've never played the game. I mean, I'm sure I'd enjoy it just for a nostalgic feel. As they, I know they said they have some of the original voice actors, which would be cool from the TV show. Because I know the game didn't have voiceover, but having the same people from the TV show would be pretty neat.
Definitely, yeah. I heard that supposedly the guy that does the voice for Scrooge McDuck is in his 90s or something, so
yeah,
I think it's a little ridiculous that he's going to come out and do voices for that. But hey, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I've been reading about some indie games. Indie development has been huge these past few years. And, personally, from PAX East, I saw some videos that two particular games that strikes interest in me. One of them is made by the creators of Bastion, Super Giant Games or something, I think is what the developers are called. But this game is called Transistor, and it kind of has that Bastion look and feel, except they added like this whole kind of sci-fi punk. And you play as a female lead character this time, and they have this interesting combat mechanic where it's like real time, but then she also has the ability to like stop time, and you can like input turns or commands, and she'll do these commands in whatever order you told her to do it, and it looks pretty awesome. Did you play Bastion at all?
It sounds familiar. That's the one where you can kind of like turn back time, and it's a platformer.
No.
Bastion, I'm thinking of Braid.
Bastion was a little bit more combat oriented.
Yeah, I remember it now because you had the little city, and you could have like an armory, and
you would upgrade the little city hub.
Yeah, I played it for a little bit. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, one of my favorite features of that game is the narrator. That's basically moving the game along with the story, and anytime the kid, which was the main character from Bastion, would do like a little action, the narrator would basically say, "Oh, and the kid did this, and the kid did that, and this happened, and that happened." And I thought that was awesome how they were able to implement that so well.
It felt more like a personalized experience.
Exactly, yeah. You were actually like kind of like editing the story with your actions. But I was stoked to hear that the narrator is making a return in Transistor, and it's the same voice actor and everything. So I guess he's going to play a similar role in Transistor as in Bastion, so that should be pretty awesome. Another game I was looking at, another indie game, and I feel bad for this, but I don't remember the guy's name that's making this one. It's a Quadrilateral Cowboy, and this is one of these, it's almost like a spy game, but there's an interesting take in that when you go into a building and you're like trying to hack the network and hack the cameras and hack the doors and security laser, you throw out this little laptop, and when it turns on, the screen pops up, and you actually input commands as if you were like writing code. So if you wanted to turn off the camera, you would have to like connect the computer to the camera. In the command screen, you'd put, you know, turn off camera for 5 seconds or whatever, and you would write in that command, and then for the next 5 seconds the camera is off, and you run through, and it looks pretty awesome. It's definitely something different. So I'll definitely be checking that out, and that's supposed to be coming out later this year, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be available for computer, probably in Steam. Transistor, I forgot to mention, is going to be coming out in 2014, and I think that's going to be probably a game where, obviously it's going to be for PC, but it's probably going to come out on the next generation platforms little store. So whatever the PlayStation 4 network store is, and whatever the next Xbox Live Arcade store is. So that should be pretty exciting.
Now, do you see these coming out for the Steam Greenlight, or is this going to be like a full Steam game?
Well, I think that Transistor, just because Steam has already, the developer Supergiant Games, they've already released games on Steam, they don't have to do Greenlight. To my understanding, Steam Greenlight is for indie developers who haven't dealt with Valve before and want to get into the Steam store. And that's one way that Valve allows the community to vote on their game, on the games they want to see in the store. So if you've released product on Steam before, you can avoid Greenlight.
Gotcha.
You don't have to do Greenlight. You just submit your game and they're like, oh, okay, cool. You've actually been in the store, so you're good. I don't know about the other one, Quadrilateral Cowboy. I don't know if that's going to have to do Greenlight or not, because I think this is going to be the developer's first game on Steam.
Sweet.
But yeah, that's pretty much PAX East. I guess we should move on to the Game Developer Conference, which took place literally a few days after PAX East.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was... It started like 2 days after PAX East ended, so...
And the Game Developer Conference is pretty awesome, because that's when all, as the name implies, all the game developers basically come together and they have panels and talks about developing games, and they share their methods and technologies with other game developers. So it's pretty awesome in that we end up seeing a lot of new technologies come out from this event. And a lot of the big companies like to announce their new game engines. And this is incredibly important considering that the next generation consoles are going to be coming out. So it's exciting to see the new game engines that are going to be powering the new games that are coming out for the next gen systems.
Yeah. Yeah, this is basically a good way for other developers to show what they have to offer. So, like, E3 is more about the games, but this is more about what the
how developers... How the games are made.
Yeah, exactly. So, Unreal Engine 4.
Yes.
Honestly, the biggest thing I heard about this is that the Wii U is not going to support it.
Yeah, which makes sense since the Wii U is more comparable to Xbox 360 and PS3, yeah. So theoretically they can just keep using Unreal Engine 3 for the Wii U.
Yeah, but do you think that games that are going to be developed on Unreal 4 are going to even support Unreal 3?
Well, I'm not saying that, you know, people would want to make an Unreal 4 game and then downport that to 3. What I'm thinking is, if a developer wants to make a game for the Wii U, they'll, instead of working with Unreal Engine 4, they'll work with Unreal Engine 3. So I definitely don't see, I don't think we'll be seeing a lot of ports, a lot of multi-platform games that are going to be available for all 3 next-gen systems. Going to be...
You don't think we'll run into the problem now? Like, we have Call of Duty comes out every year for 360 and PS3, and previously on the Wii it was basically just an afterthought. It was something developed by a different team and just released alongside the game. It wasn't really the same game, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly what's going to keep happening, unfortunately, for the Wii U. The main focus will be on the Xbox, whatever, next Xbox or whatever, and the PS4, so the big Call of Duty game will come out for that platform, and then if Activision wants to, you know, support Wii with something, they'll just make the subpar version of the game utilizing Unreal Engine 3, opposed to... And that's assuming if Activision uses Unreal Engine for Call of Duty, you know. What's to say Activision doesn't use a completely different engine that may actually scale to the Wii U, so...
Yeah, that's true. I mean, a lot of developers and publishers do their own thing. Like EA uses Frostbite.
Yes, and the Frostbite 3 is something that they were showing off with the new Battlefield 4 game that's going to be coming out for the next generation systems and PC and Xbox 360 and PS3.
Yeah. And, I mean, that gameplay is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that...
No telling what it's playing on, but it looks great.
They have a 17-minute video that you can watch on YouTube now, and it looks amazing, just like you were saying. EA also announced that their next... I mean, they basically said that Frostbite Engine 3, or Frostbite 3, is going to be the engine for all of their... all of their games. Every game that's made by EA is going to use that engine. So the next Dragon Age is going to use Frostbite 3. The next Mass Effect game is going to use Frostbite 3. If they actually make a new Mirror Edge game, that's going to use Frostbite 3. And that's really interesting to see. And it's also interesting that they also announced that Wii U will not support Frostbite 3.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're kind of doing that now with the current Frostbite engine. Like the new Medal of Honor that came out was Frostbite. So I guess it's easier for them just to use the same engine instead of having to pay somebody like Unreal to use their stuff or Havoc.
Definitely, and the Frostbite engine has always been pretty awesome. I mean, Frostbite 2 with Battlefield 3, even the new Need for Speed game used Frostbite 2, so I mean, they can do a lot of stuff with that engine.
Yeah, they definitely look good.
It's just interesting to see that the Wii U, again, gets basically the short end of the stick. Or, I guess in this case, it doesn't get a stick, period.
Yeah, I'm sure Nintendo's gonna be fine with their Mario and Zelda games, though.
Hopefully, yeah. And hopefully we'll be seeing a price drop later this year. Anyways, what's the next big
unveil? A lot of people like Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, you know, 5 or 10 people like that game.
Yeah. I've only played a couple of the games, honestly. But Metal Gear Solid 5 got announced.
Yep. And you're telling me you didn't play Metal Gear Solid 4 with those 60-minute cutscenes?
I played about halfway through that game. it only took me like 40 hours to get there.
So what you're telling me is you only saw two of the cutscenes in the game.
Yeah, exactly. but, I mean, Metal Gear's a cool series. It's got a lot going for it.
Has a huge following.
Yeah, the story is kind of confusing for someone that doesn't keep up with it.
There's a just story? Because,
yeah, there's a huge timeline, and it goes all the way back to, like, the 60s, I believe. It can be hard to follow. There's clones, so a lot of the same people running around in different time periods. So it can definitely get confusing. So I don't know where this one takes place. This is Big Boss?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, oh my god. Okay.
Disclaimer. He's like the original Snake.
Yeah, disclaimer. We don't actually... We're not Metal Gear Solid novelists or, you know, historians of this franchise. I played 4, I played 2, I skipped 3, and they're awesome games. I do like them, but yeah, the story is not something I follow. But I think this one takes place in the 70s or in the 80s or 90s. Who knows? And like you said, you play as Big Boss, and something happens to him, and something else happens, and, you know, whatever. My thing is, this game got announced, let's backtrack a little bit. They announced...
Technically,
they announced Ground Zero, and they were like, this is going to be a Metal Gear game, it's going to be awesome, Ground Zero, yeah, you get to play as Big Boss, awesome. And then at, what was it, the Spike VGAs?
Yeah, it was the VGAs last year.
Yeah, so the VGAs 2012, they showed off a trailer, and it was like this game, nobody knew what it was, and it was from some weird studio, but it was called The Phantom Pain, and everybody was like, wait, this looks like a Metal Gear game, but who are these people? You know, what's going on? lo and behold, Hideo Kojima announced this past week that Metal Gear Solid 5 will now be comprised of Ground Zero as the prequel or the prologue of Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. So, it's two games, to my understanding, that are part of this one bigger experience that is Metal Gear Solid 5. So I don't know if that means we're going to have to buy two retail discs, or if it's going to be, hey, Ground Zero comes out as a digital game, you download it, and then you go out and buy The Phantom Pain, Metal Gear Solid 5, or what's going on. But that's my understanding of this situation.
I'm sure one of them will be some sort of downloadable content or something. I don't know how they do it, though.
Who knows?
Because they both sound like full-fledged games.
Yeah, exactly. And they could do something where it's like, oh yeah, buy Ground Zero at the store, and then buy the quote-unquote season pass for Phantom Pain. And it's basically episodic content.
They could release it in like...
chunks.
Yeah. But, I mean, if they're going to keep up with the cutscenes, I mean, those are going to be 10 gigabyte chunks.
Huh, yeah.
So, I don't know how they're... I don't know. I mean, they haven't really given us any release date or time or anything about it, so...
Yeah. I'm thinking it's going to be two different games. But yeah, I guess probably. Only time will tell. One thing
if they're smart, what they'll do is they'll release Ground Zero and then be like, Phantom Pain is only for next-gen consoles.
That would be interesting, yeah. If they release Ground Zero now, holiday 2013... And then the Phantom Pain, like you said, Next Gen Systems, holiday 2014. That would be pretty cool. Konami can definitely use the cash flow of these Metal Gear games, so I'm sure they wouldn't be opposed to such a plan.
Yeah, they're doing all right, I'm sure. Silent Hill's selling like gangbusters.
I don't understand why. Just kidding for all two of you that like that game franchise.
Yeah. I don't know, it was alright like 10 years ago, but...
Yeah, the first one. But yeah. The second one.
I don't know, I liked Silent Hill 4.
Okay, there you go. More big news. David Hayter. He has been voicing Solid Snake since the game had voice actors. So, since the first game. And unfortunately, he is no longer reprising his role as the voice of Solid Snake. Or any of the snakes. Which is kind of whack. But whatever. I'm sure fans will be a little upset about that. But it's really not going to change anything.
I mean, the game, honestly, with the premise of it and everything, it sounds almost like a reboot. So... I'm not sure if they're just trying to go a different direction than they had been.
Yeah, Hideo Kojima said that he wanted to have a new experience with this game or whatever. And he also said this is going to be his last Metal Gear game, which he's been saying that for the past, you know, decade. But yeah, this game is running, well, both games, I guess, are running on the Fox engine, which also looks incredible. That engine, they have technology where they can actually scan an item and then use the texture from the scan and plop it right into the game. So, that should be cool. More photorealism for the next generation systems, and possibly for this generation systems. What? All about that photorealism.
Yeah, and, I mean, as long as the gameplay is good, I'm sure this game will do fantastic. Graphics, honestly, for me at least, the graphics make up about 50% of the enjoyment I get out of a game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's games now that do everything fantastic, like Tomb Raider or Bioshock.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing. The graphics of the games coming out nowadays are way better than the graphics of the games when they came out, you know, 7-8 years ago when these systems first came out. So I'm pretty excited to see what the next generation systems are going to be capable of. Last little bit of news. Sony went ahead and announced some a little bit more details on the PlayStation 4, specifically on the controller, the DualShock 4. Yeah, it looks like it's gonna have more digital inputs, which is kind of lame. The face buttons, L1 and R1, are all going to be digital instead of analog, which should be interesting for Gran Turismo, since for the longest time, that series always used the X button to accelerate. And that wasn't really a problem, since those buttons were analog, so the harder you push the button, the faster the car goes. So it's interesting that they're moving to digital. And then they said that it's going to have enhanced dual vibration over the DualShock 3, whatever that means. I think it's funny that they're saying that the DualShock 4 is going to have enhanced vibration when originally the 6-axis controller for the PS3 didn't have any kind of vibration. Because it quote-unquote interfered with the 6-axis.
I'm guessing the enhanced dual vibration, I mean, I guess they'd probably do something like left or right side, you know?
Who
knows? Like, if you're getting hit from the left in a shooting game, then the left side will vibrate.
That would be cool.
They kind of got rid of 6-axis when they started making the Move, so they didn't really care after that.
I don't know. To my knowledge, these are still going to have 6-axis. They're still going to have some kind of, like, motion.
Well, they're taking the place of a Move controller, aren't they?
What?
The DualShock 4.
No, the Move controllers are going to be fully compatible with the PlayStation 4.
Oh, I thought the DualShock 4 was kind of doing the same thing as the Move controllers are doing now. Granted, as far as the color recognition and the motion stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it has all that, but yeah, they're still supporting Move. So if you have a Move controller, you can use it on your PlayStation 4 or your PlayStation 3. But if you have a DualShock 3 controller, you can't use that with the PlayStation 4.
Or games.
Or, yeah, exactly. Or the games. Can't play those on the PS4. Some more interesting tidbits on the controller. You can finally charge the controller while your system is on standby. Or basically shut down.
Snap.
Oh, snap.
I've only been doing this for 6 years on my Xbox.
You know what else has been going on with the Xbox? Whenever you buy a new Xbox, you get a headset. Guess what? Sony finally recognized that people like to talk to each other online and swear up and down.
Well, so, their controller finally has a headset plug on it, so yeah. I think that'll help instead of having a 75-foot USB headset plugged into your system.
Touche. So yeah, the PS4 will come with a headset in box. What? 11-year-olds.
There you go.
Yeah. That was
almost got through a whole podcast.
I know. My apologies, folks. It's on vibrate.
I can edit it out anyway.
No, we'll leave that in. But that's all the news I got.
Yeah, I mean, I think we pretty much covered everything.
I don't know. I get the feeling that we forgot something. Grr.
I don't know. I mean, we can go over, like, Gears of War stuff. There's been a lot of games come out in the past couple weeks. Tiger Woods, Army of Two.
Tiger Woods.
Haven't really had a chance to play anything new besides BioShock and Tomb Raider. Those games are amazing. So I haven't really had a reason to play anything else.
I hear you. Well, any games coming out in the month of April you're looking forward to?
The biggest one for me is probably going to be the new Dead Island.
Any actual games?
That game's going to be awesome.
Just
messing. I'm on a zombie kick, though, because Walking Dead just finished and season 3. So, I'm wanting to play some more zombie games. I'll probably put Dead Rising in for a couple hours to just get back into that and then wait for Dead Island to come out. It's a good co-op, first-person zombie hack and slash, so I'm sure it'll be good.
I don't know. I couldn't get into the first one, but I guess if you like the first one, there's no reason not to get the second one.
Yeah.
What else is coming out in April? Injustice? That's coming out on the 16th, if I'm not mistaken. That should be pretty cool.
Two more weeks.
Yep. And then Defiance is coming out Tuesday, April 2nd.
Comes out. Yep. Comes out tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, that'll be an interesting game. I mean, I played the beta, and it's pretty fun. It feels like a normal, like, MMO. It plays kind of like Mass Effect. It's like a third-person shooter. There's really no cover system, which is strange. You just kind of crouch behind stuff. But it's normal MMO quests. Go kill 10 of these dudes and bring me 5 of these things. So from what I've played so far, it's not bad. It's just cool seeing 50 other people running around on a console game.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's almost like it's basically, doesn't it have that same persistent multiplayer that Destiny's supposed to gonna have, or a version of it?
Yeah, I think as far as the like seeing other people and stuff, it'll be about the same. But I think Destiny's got so much going for it to where there's gonna be a lot more involved in like traveling with other people and stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that game should be pretty awesome. I honestly don't have any real game that I'm looking forward to this month, which is going to make my wallet real happy. I guess if you like Ninja Gaiden 3, they have the Razor Edge coming out for Xbox 360 and PS3.
Yeah, that comes out April 2nd as well.
Yep. That's cool. You get more weapons, more Nimpo. You get the blood and gore back. That's exciting. But not much.
Yeah, kind of a slow month. But I mean, I a lot of these developers and publishers are really waiting for E3 this year.
Cannot wait.
Yeah.
All right, so it's the first of the month. Do you think Microsoft is going to have their Xbox event this month or next month, or do you think they're going to wait for E3?
I can see them announcing new hardware in the next month, and then showing everything off during E3.
I would beat that up.
Yeah, they don't. The way I see it is, if you were to announce new hardware, you don't want E3 to be all about your hardware. You want it to be about the games. Yes, so if you get all the hardware stuff out of the way early, and then use all E3 to show the new games and new features of the console, I think that'd be the best way to use their time.
Well, here's hoping, but I mean, Microsoft is Microsoft, and they do things their way, because, you know, they have all the cash in the world. But man, I would love it if they announced the next Xbox this month.
Yeah, I've been saving money just waiting to pre-order that thing, so...
Save money now, because those things are going to be expensive.
Yeah, I'm honestly not expecting anything less than like $500.
Yeah, I think $400 or $500 would probably be a good bet. But yeah, anything else? We're going on to almost 40 minutes now, I think.
No, I mean, there really hasn't been a lot of other stuff going on besides what we've already talked about. Yeah, I mean, hopefully we'll do more of these podcasts. We'll try to get one out every other week or so, with some Let's Plays in between.
Definitely, yeah. We want to see about making more Let's Plays, and if Microsoft makes an announcement about announcing their new Xbox, you can be damn sure we'll be making a podcast for that announcement. Yeah, and then we'll make another podcast after the announcement.
Yeah. Yeah, like we'll try to get one out same day as they announce it, for sure.
Most definitely. But yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah.
I guess.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Please remember to rate and subscribe. You can find us on Facebook at Unreliable Studio. We're on Twitter at Reliable Studio. And you can email us at unreliablestudio@gmail.com.
Most def.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. My name's Josh.
And I'm Pedro.
And we'll see you next time.
See you on the flip.